إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our fifth session, reading from the topic, Athar al-Qur'an fi Islah al-Qulub, by Sheikh Dr. Sulaiman al-Ruhayli, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He is a professor at the Islamic University of Medina, a teacher in al-Masjid al-Nabawi, the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Medina, and Imam al-Khatib Masjid Quba in Medina. This topic was chosen before the present situation that all of us are experiencing today across the country, the demonstrations and protests at the horrible, brutal, senseless, insensitive murder of an innocent black man, George Floyd. Before I begin with the topic, I just want to mention, in light of the situation that we're experiencing in America today, and rather even around the world, there are demonstrations. I want to remind us that this topic is of the utmost importance, especially if we consider that the core of this topic is the islah, the rectification or the reformation, the mending of the hearts through which behavior is rectified and through which the society can be reformed. There is no true, real, lasting reformation of the society, rectification of a society, whether Muslim or non-Muslim society, except that the people are reformed, and there is no true, real, lasting reform of the human being except by reformation of the heart. And there's no way better than or equal to reforming the heart than the Quran. So in our first session, just briefly, the Sheikh mentioned that the human being has been placed in this earth in order to settle the earth, to cultivate the earth upon a tawheed, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And a piece of flesh has been placed in the human being, which is the heart. And that piece of flesh, the heart, if it is whole and sound, healthy, then the whole human being will be whole and sound and healthy, and the actions will be correct and right and righteous. And so that, the establishment of Tawheed in the earth is by the mending, the repairing, the restoring, the cultivation of the heart upon a Tawheed. And the best and the really the only means of the mending or repairing or reformation of the heart is through the Quran. So this was the core meaning of the first part of this topic. That is the purpose of the human being in the earth and the means through which that can happen by the reformation of the heart by means of the Quran. In the second session, we talked in detail about the ayat, which the Sheikh mentioned some of the qualities or characteristics due to which the Quran is the greatest means of reformation of the heart and the reformation of the individual and reformation of the society. And in the third session, we talked about the importance or the need or the necessity of there being a proper, fitting, suitable receptacle to receive the message of the Quran through which the heart and the human being is reformed. And that is that the heart is alive, that the heart is well, and that the person is attentive, listening attentively, and is receptive, heedful of the message that comes by way of the Qur'an. In the fourth session, we talked about additionally, we talked about some of the important ways through which the Qur'an is the means of reformation, yani mending, repairing of the heart, in addition to what was mentioned in the previous session, that is the establishment of Tawheed, the realization of Tawheed. We mentioned in this session that in addition to the establishment or the realization of Tawheed, that also from the other means or other ways in which the Qur'an has this impact or effect on the heart and on the human being is by having knowledge of the messengers of Allah, knowing their characteristics and their qualities and their character and their manners, and knowing about these prophets and messengers, yani produces a love for them and an inclination to take them as a model and to follow them and to act in the way that they act, and this has a reformative effect on the heart. Additionally, we mentioned that knowing about the people of Sa'ada and Khair and the people of Shaqawa and Shar, yani knowing about the people, the fortunate ones, the believing people who are obedient to Allah, who Allah would grant success in this world and success and paradise in the next life, and knowing about the qualities of the people of Shaqawa, the wretched, the miserable, the unfortunate ones, yani who disbelieve and disobey Allah, and the punishment that they would receive in this world, and humiliation in this world, and punishment in the next life in the hellfire. Knowing about this is also a motivating factor to emulate and to imitate the behavior, the characteristic, and the qualities of the people of Sa'ada, the believing people, the people who Allah promised paradise, and avoiding the ways of the people of Shaqawa, the people who Allah promised hellfire. A fourth point that we mentioned from the effects of the Qur'an is that a person learns from the Qur'an that what is important is being having truthful iman, sincere iman, and righteous actions. And that the people who realize this will attempt to attend to their iman and to their actions and try to yani live in a way that will earn the reward and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, the last point that we mentioned last week from the effects of the Qur'an or the impact of the Qur'an on the heart and on the human being is through the Qur'an we came to know that whoever gives up something for the sake of Allah that might be desirable or loved by them, and instead giving preference to that which is loved by Allah, then Allah will replace it with that which is better. And the Shaykh mentioned a number of examples of that. The example of the Muhajirin who migrated and left their country and their land and their property and their loved ones in Mecca and migrated to Medina for the sake of Allah, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them yani success in this world and promise of paradise in the next life. And he mentioned the example of Ibrahim Khalil alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam, and how they gave preference to that which was pleasing to Allah, and how Allah rewarded them by replacing that which they gave up with that which is better, and the people of the cave, and Maryam bint Imran, and Sulaiman alayhi salam. Examples that the Shaykh mentioned of those who gave preference to that which is loved by Allah over that which might be desired by themselves, and as a result of that, Allah replaced that which they gave up for the sake of Allah with that which is better than it. Tonight, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to take a few more matters or points, means through which the Qur'an has an effect, an impact on rectifying and restoring and mending the heart, and as such, yani has an effect on mending the society, correcting the wrongs and the injustices in the society, by mending, by reforming the human being, and by yani reforming the society through yani the establishment of Tawheed and those principles that we found in the Quran. So tonight, inshallah, we're going to read from where the Shaykh mentions what I have numbered as the sixth point, where the Shaykh says, "Wal Muslim ayuha al-ikhwa wal-akhawat idha qara al-Quran wa tadabbara al-Quran ya'lamu anna al-qalb yamradu wa anna al-qalb yataqallabu." Yani the Muslim who reads the Quran and reflects upon what is being read, contemplates what is being read, will come to know that the heart is subject to become sick, and that the heart, يتقلب, turns and changes from one condition or state to another. When a person knows this, that the heart can become sick, that if their heart is whole and sound, yani it can become sick if one is not careful to guard it, and that the heart changes from one condition to another, then he said, فَيَكُونُ حَرِيسًا عَلَى سَلَامَةِ قَلْبِهِ حَذِرًا مِنْ آفَاتِ الْقُلُوبُ أَمْرَاضِهَا. When a person knows this, then they will be diligent in seeking to preserve the well-being, the good health and well-being of their heart. And likewise, they will be careful and cautious and take every precaution from the evils and the sicknesses that befall the heart. This being said, once a person knows this, then it should encourage them and motivate them to be active in seeking to attain and to preserve the health and well-being of the heart, and to take every precaution to prevent the evils and the sicknesses that befall the heart from befalling them. The Shaykh says, وَالْمَرْضُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ هُوَ مَرْضُ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ نَوْعَانِ. When we talk about sicknesses of the heart in the Qur'an, what is intended is, the sicknesses of the heart, the illnesses or the diseases of the heart. And these sicknesses of the heart are of two types. Yani when the Quran talks about the sickness, it's talking about sickness of the hearts. And those sicknesses of two types are of two types, maradu ash-shubuhat and maradu ash-shahawat. Yani the two main categories under which every type of sickness or illness or disease of the heart can be classified is either it comes under the category of ash-shubuhat, doubtful matters, or under the category of ash-shahawat, yani desires, lower desires, worldly desires. So the Shaykh, he says, first, in definition of what is meant by ash-shubuhat and what is meant by ash-shahawat, the Shaykh says, ash-shubuhat, it is shuquq tatrahu ala qalb al-insan tub'iduhu an ar-rahman. Yani what do we mean when we say shubuhat? We mean doubts that befall the heart of the human being and result in distancing him from ar-rahman. Yani doubts that may suddenly, unexpectedly, yani occur to a person, which caused that person to be distanced from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ar-Rahman. The doubtful matters are of different types, but what is important is these doubts harm the heart of the human being and cause a person to become distanced from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second type of disease, or the second category of diseases, when we talk about sickness in the Quran and the sicknesses of the heart, the second type is ash-shahawat, which is generally translated as desires. And the Shaykh defines ash-shahawat as da'afu al-irada amama al-maladhat ad-dunya hatta yaqa al-abdu fi ma'asiyatillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani da'af al-irada, weakness of will, yani a person not having the will, the irada, strong will, to resist the pleasures of the world, such that because of their inability the weakness of will to resist the pleasures of the world, it causes them to fall into disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the second type of sicknesses of the heart that the Quran addresses are those is the weakness of the human being. The inability to resist the pleasures of the world, and as such, one falls into acts of disobedience, sin, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, وَقَدْ يَجْتَمِعَ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ الْأَمْرَانِ. It is possible that one person may be afflicted with both of these affairs. That is, yani might be afflicted with the sicknesses of الشُّبُهَات, as well as the sicknesses of الشَّهَوَات. Yani that a person might be afflicted with both of them. And in this case, the Shaykh, he says, the heart then would be sick with both types of sicknesses. Doubtful matters as well as worldly desires that they have no ability to resist. Here the Shaykh talks about the first category of the sicknesses of the heart, the shubuhat, in some detail before going to the second category of sicknesses of the heart, the shahawat. So as far as the shubuhat, the Shaykh, he says, مرض الشبهات في القلب أيها الإخوة والأخوات أخطر الأمراض على الإطلاق. يعني that the sickness or the sicknesses of shubuhat, of doubtful matters in the heart, are the most dangerous of all sicknesses على الإطلاق, without exception. The shubuhat, the doubtful matters that a person is subjected to when they don't have proper knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah and Islam, especially in matters of aqidah, as well as other matters, the doubtful matters that may occur to a person or that may afflict a person, these are the most dangerous of all sicknesses without exception. فَمَا مَرِضَ الْإِنسَانِ بِمَرْضٍ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ مَرْضِ الشُّبُهَاتِ. So no human being is afflicted with a sickness that's worse than the sickness of الشُّبُهَاتِ, doubtful matters. وَهُوَ يُثْمِرُ آفَاتٍ خَطِيرًا. And this sickness of shubuhat, it leads to, as a consequence of suffering with this sickness, it leads to very dangerous, yani, evils. أَخْطَرُهَا وَأَقْبَعُهَا الشِّرْكُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Yani, the most dangerous of those sicknesses from shubuhat, and the most evil or ugly of them, is the person that falls into associating something with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an equal or a partner with him. Yani, الشرك بالله. وهو شد الفساد وعظم الظلم وما أظلم قلب بأعظم من الشرك بالله subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, yani, الشرك بالله, yani, associating, making something as an equal or a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any of those things that are his exclusive rights, this is the most severe of all corruption, and it is the most extreme of all dhulm, wrongdoing, or injustice, or oppression. The worst wrongdoing, yani, is ashirk billahi. Yani, if we think about the dhulm of a person who takes another person's property, or the one who sheds the blood of another human being without a right to do so, this is indeed of the greatest of the different types of oppression or injustice or wrongdoing, but rather أعظم الظلم. Greater than all of that is the ظلم of the person who makes something as an equal or a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that which is his exclusive right. Yani, the worst oppression, the worst injustice is that a person gives worship to other than Allah when Allah alone is the one who deserves to be worshipped and has the right to be worshipped. And there is no, yani, وَمَا أَظْلَمَ قَلْبٌ بِأَعْظَمُ مِنِ الشِّرْكِ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Yani, no heart has been darkened with anything worse than the darkness that overcomes the heart due to worshipping something or making something as an equal or a partner in that which is the exclusive right of Allah alone. So this is the first and the worst and the most dangerous and the most evil of the harms of the sickness of shubuhat. That is that a person begins to become confused and is led to believe or misled to believe that something has a right from the exclusive rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That something has a right to share in that which belongs to Allah alone. Yani like a person imagines or believes or thinks that a so-called wali or a saint that's buried in a grave has a right to be prayed to or called upon or sought help from instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani due to confusion and misunderstanding and lack of information about yani al-Islam, then a person sometimes is confused by doubtful matters and led to believe that there is someone or something that has a right to share in that which is the exclusive right of Allah alone, whether it is in supplicating to other than Allah, or having love for other than Allah with the love that belongs to Allah alone, or hope in other than Allah with the hope that belongs to Allah alone, and so on. The second great evil from the sickness of shubuhat, doubtful matters, yani it also, the shubuhat also, as a consequence, leads to al-bid'ah, as-sarifah an sunnati Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mufsida lil-qulub. Yani innovations that turn a person away from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and corrupt the hearts. Innovations. This is the second great evil or harm that results from shubuhat. That people, due to not having proper knowledge of the Quran and the sunnah and the proofs and the evidences and the principles of the sharia, yani is led to believe that something which has been innovated in the deen, a means of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is not legislated in the Quran or in the sunnah, they are misled to believe that this is a way of getting near to Allah, earning the pleasure of Allah and worshipping Allah. Yani an innovated practice that causes people to deviate from the sunnah and it corrupts the hearts. Indeed, al-bid'ah fa'innaha dalalatun tuzlimu bil-qalb wa tufsiduhu. Yani it is bid'ah, innovation, every innovation is misguidance and it causes darkness to the hearts and corrupts the hearts. And for this reason, some of the Salaf, they used to say, man jalasa ila sahibi bid'atin awrafahu Allah al-'ama. And whoever sits with a person of innovation, whoever sits with them and listens to them and is affected by them, awrafahu Allah al-'ama, then Allah will cause him, yani, to become blind. The Shaykh says, what type of blindness? Blindness of the heart. For indeed, the mubtadi'a, the person of innovation, la yadullu al-insan illa ala dalala. The person of innovation doesn't direct a person to anything other than dalala, misguidance. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, the Shaykh is not mentioning here, but he's alluding to it, kullu bid'atin dalala, that every innovation, without exception, is misguidance. So the people of bid'ah do not lead a person to anything other than dalala, because every innovation is misguidance. وَلَا يُرْشِدُهُ إِلَّا عَلَى الشَّرْ, and he doesn't guide a person to other than evil. And in the ending of some of the narration of the hadith, the Prophet said, وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ, and every misguidance is in the fire, leads to the hellfire. What is more evil than the person who due to yani bid'ah falls into misguidance, which leads to the hellfire? So bid'ah, it steers a person, and we seek refuge in Allah from this, to blindness of the heart, causes the heart to become blind. And for this reason, كان السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليهم يحذرون من البدع ويحذرون من أهلها ويحذرون من مجالسة أهلها. And for this reason, the righteous predecessors, yani the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ورضي الله عنهم, and those who followed them from amongst the Tabi'un, and those who followed them from amongst the students of the Tabi'un, may Allah be pleased with all of them, they used to warn people against innovation, all types of innovation. And they used to warn people against the people of innovation. Warn the people against associating with the people of innovation, and they used to warn the people against sitting with them. Indeed, al-bid'ah إذا وقرت في القلب تظلم بقلب صاحبها حتى يقول ما لا يقبله العقلاء. That indeed, when innovation is established or settled in the heart, it causes darkness to the heart of that person who that bid'ah has become established upon them, until they say that which even rational, sensible, reasonable people do not accept, even if they were not Muslims. Yani the uqala, the people who have aql, who are reasonable, who are sensible, who are rational, they wouldn't accept these things even if they were not Muslims. Not to mention that it could be accepted by a Muslim. Yani even a non-Muslim who has an aql wouldn't accept these things that the people of bid'ah are led by the innovation to say. Have you not heard that some of the people of bid'ah are saying that إِنَّ الْوَلِيِّ يَسْتَطِيُّ أَن يَخْلُقَ الْجَنِينَ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The Shaykh says, haven't you heard that some of the people of innovation are saying that the wali, yani what they call a wali, the person who they claim is special, a saint or whatever they want to use, yani what expression they use to refer to what they claim is a wali of Allah. They said that this wali is able to create the embryo or the fetus in the stomach of its mother. And the Shaykh expresses yani amazement at such a statement by saying, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And there's no strength and there's no power except with Allah. The Ahlu Jahiliyyah Al-Ula, the early, yani first people of Jahiliyyah, they didn't used to say the like of this. Rather, they were only saying that Al-Khaliq huwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the only creator. The people of Jahiliyyah, the mushrikeen of Jahiliyyah, they used to say Allah is the only creator. وَلَكِنْ الْبِدْعَةُ تُظْلِمُ بِأَقْلِ صَاحِبِهَا وَتُظْلِمْ بِقَلْبِ صَاحِبِهَا حَتَّى يَعْمَلَ مَا لَا يَسْتَصِيغُهُ الْعُقَلَى فَضْلًا عَنْ قَوْنِهِ الشَّرْءِ يرده ويقول ما لا يستصيغه العقلاء فضلا عن قول الشرع يرده. However, the innovation brings darkness upon the intellect of the person of bid'ah, and it brings darkness upon the heart of the person of bid'ah, until it causes that person to do things, actions, which the rational, reasonable, sensible person, even if they were not a Muslim, would not approve of, would not consider to be proper or acceptable. Not to mention the fact that, yani, the Sharia has rejected it. And it causes them to say things that the sensible, reasonable, even non-Muslim wouldn't say, wouldn't consider to be acceptable or appropriate. Not to mention the fact that the Sharia rejects such speech. Yani the Shaykh is making us to reflect upon how the effect of innovation, when it becomes established or settled in the heart of the human being, it darkens their heart and it darkens their intellect and their ability to think clearly, and therefore it causes them to say things and it causes them to do actions that not only are rejected by the Sharia but are also rejected by even non-Muslims who yani are sensible or reasonable. After this discussion concerning the evils of the sickness of shubuhat and the main two evils that are caused by shubuhat, doubtful matters, that is ishirk and al-bid'ah, the Shaykh goes to talk about the sicknesses or the disease of shahawat. But before that, let me just remind us that the two main things that the people of Sunnah, the scholars of the people of Sunnah, concentrate on is the establishment of Tawheed and the establishment of the Sunnah. And whoever establishes a Tawheed will be saved from Shirk. And whoever establishes the Sunnah will be saved from Bid'ah. So it is the concentration upon yani at-tawheed and the sunnah that saves a person from these two great evils of ash-shubuhat, of doubtful matters, that is a shirk and innovation. The second matter that the Shaykh talks about from the sicknesses of the heart, when the Quran talks about sicknesses, it's talking about the sicknesses of shubuhat, doubtful matters, and the sicknesses of ash-shahawat. The sicknesses of shahawat, remember the Shaykh said, what is a shahawat? Shahawat is da'af al-irada. Yani, that a person has a weak will in the face of malazzat al-dunya, the pleasures of the world. And this weak will, in the face of the pleasures of the worldly pleasures, causes the person to fall into disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh here now talks in a little bit of detail about marad al-shahawat. Yani the sickness, the illness, the disease of a person having a weak will and therefore falling into disobedience due to the worldly pleasures that a person may be confronted with if they don't have the will to resist them. So the Shaykh says, مَرْضُ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَيُّهَا الْإِخْوَةِ وَمَا أَدْرَكَ مَا مَرْضُ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Yani what will make you to know, what will make you to understand the severity, the seriousness of the sicknesses of desires. Kad yabdu saghiran. It might initially appear as being something small in size. Yani these desires that a person has that cause them to fall into disobedience of Allah. Wa yabda'u qalilan. And it may begin initially as something small in the amount of the sin that the person falls into. Walakinnahu yatasallalu ila al-qalb. But then it penetrates the hearts. وَتُظْلِمْ بِالْقَلْبِ شَيْئًا فَشَيْئًا. And it darkens the heart little by little if the person doesn't repent from it. Yani the shahawat, the sins that a person falls into due to having weak will, the inability to resist the worldly pleasures, may in the beginning seem something small. And it may be in a small amount that the person engages in it, but eventually, yani the shahwa penetrates the heart of the human being, and it causes the heart to become darkened little by little if the person doesn't repent from it. The Shaykh here mentions the hadith that's reported by At-Tirmidhi, who said that the hadith is Hasan Sahih, in which the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدِ إِذَا أَخْطَأَ خَطِيَةً نُقِتَتْ فِي قَلْبِهِ نُقْتَةٌ سَوْدَاءُ. That when the person commits a sin, then a black spot or a black dot occurs on the heart. Yani a small black dot. فَإِذَا هُوَ نَزَعَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ وَتَابَ سُقِلَ قَلْبُهُ. But if the person refrains, falls back from that, seeks forgiveness of Allah and repents, then the heart will be cleaned, it will be polished from that small black spot. وَإِنْ عَادَ زِيدَ فِيهَا حَتَّى تَعْلُوَ قَلْبَهُ. But if the person returns to that sin, yani as a result of having weak will, in the face of the pleasures of the world, if a person returns to that sin, zida fiha, then the darkness is increased. The darkness on the heart is increased until it overcomes the heart, until it completely covers the heart. And in the hadith, in some of the narration of the hadith, is mentioned that this is the meaning of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran when he says, "Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun." That nay, رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ. Yani, darkness covers their hearts due to that which they used to earn, the sins that they committed. That little by little, blackness begins to cover the heart until it completely covers it. The Shaykh says, and for this reason, O Abdullah, إِيَّاكَ ثُمَّ إِيَّاكَ. Be cautioned, be warned from being deceived or being misled or misunderstanding the saying of the scholars when they said that indeed the sickness of shubuhat is a'azamu min marad shahawat, that the sicknesses of doubts is greater, far greater than the sicknesses of desires. Don't be misled by this, for indeed what they intended, they did not intend by this, la yaqsuduna bihadha an yuqallilu min sharri marad shahawat. They didn't intend for you to think that the sicknesses of shahawat, of desires, is insignificant. But what they intended was to make clear the greatness of the evil of the sicknesses of shubuhat, of doubtful matters. Not to think the shahawat are insignificant, but rather to see the greater seriousness and the evil of shubuhat. For indeed, the sicknesses of shahawat, of desires, sharruhu azim, its evil is tremendous, wa fasaduhu fil qalb kabir, and the corruption that it causes in the heart is great. وَإِيَّاكَ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ إِيَّاكَ أَن تَغْتَرَّ بِصِغْرِ الذَّنْبِ. And also, O Abdullah, beware of being deceived or deluded by the smallness of the sin. Yani, it's just a small sin. It's not, adultery. It's not murder. And therefore, it's a small sin. Beware of being deceived by the smallness of the sin. فَمَنْ أَقْدَمَ عَلَى الصَّغِيرِ أَوْشَكَ أَنْ يُقْدِمَ عَلَى الْكَبِيرِ. For whoever takes the risk of committing a small sin is close or near to committing the bigger sin. And whoever commits a sin, even though they might think it to be small, then this only puts them on the verge or close to committing the bigger sin. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَعْنَ اللَّهِ السَّارِقَ يَسْرِقُ الْبَيْضَفَ فَتُقْطَعُ يَدَهُ. May the curse of Allah be upon the thief who steals an egg and his hand is cut off. وَيَسْرِقُ الْحَبْلَ فَتُقْطَعُ يَدَهُ. Or he steals a piece of rope and his hand is cut off. And this hadith is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. And it is well known, the Shaykh says, that an egg doesn't reach the minimum amount due to which a person's hand would be cut off for stealing it. Nor does a piece of rope meet the minimum amount, the value of that due to which a person's hand would be cut off for stealing it. وَلَكِنْ الَّذِي يَسْرِقُ الْبَيْضَ. But what is intended here is that the one who will steal an egg is near to, or close to, or on the verge of stealing that which is more than that. And stealing later that which is more than that, until they steal that which due to which their hand will be cut off. So الذنوب يصير فيها الإنسان شيئا فشيئا. So the Shaykh is saying here that sins, a person would go, would engage in them little by little, from the smaller to the greater, until they fall into that which would be the means of their destruction, or the cause of their destruction. So pay attention, O Abdullah. Indeed, the human being يستصغر الذنب, looks, thinks little of a sin sometimes. فيبدأ بي. So they, they begin with that, and then after that they commit that which is أعلى, which is greater than that, and then that which is أعلى, which is greater than that, and then that which is greater than that. ثم يغفل عن التوبة. And then they become unmindful of the need for tawbah, until their heart becomes covered with darkness, and we seek refuge in Allah from that. Again, here the Shaykh is telling us that the sin of shahawat, it may begin with that which is small, that which one considers insignificant, but it will lead to that which is greater and cause the destruction of the human being. Then the Shaykh recites or mentions some poetry, خَلِي الذُّنُوبُ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا فَهُوَ التُّقَى. وسنا كماش فوق أرض الشوق يهذر ما يرى لا تحقرن صغيرة إن الجبال من الحصى. Leave alone sins, whether the lesser ones or the greater ones, for this is taqwa, avoiding sin. And do like the one who walks upon the earth that is full of thorns. He is cautious from whatever he sees, takes every precaution. And don't think insignificant the small sin, saghira. For indeed, mountains are made of al-hasa, pebbles. And then the Shaykh mentions also, he said, it has been said, رَأَيْتُ الذُّنُوبَ تُمِيتُ الْقُلُوبَ وَقَدْ يُورِثُ الذُّلَّ إدمانها وترك الذنوب حياة القلوب وخير لنفسك إصيانها. that I saw that sins cause death to the hearts. And it might also be the cause, yani sinning might be the cause, if a person is addicted to it, leading to their disgrace. So leaving sins is what gives life to the hearts. And it is better for you that you disobey your nafs, yani when it calls you to do that which is in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh, he closes this point by saying, yani by mentioning ayahs from the Quran, which show the different types of sins, yani that which is, or the different types of sicknesses of the heart, yani that which is from the shubuhat, doubtful matters, and that which is from the shahawat, desires. So the Shaykh says, فَالْمَرْضُ أَيُّهَا الْإِخْوَةَ الَّذِي ذُكِرَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ هُوَ مَرْضُ الْقُلُوبِ. The sickness, illness, or disease that's mentioned in the Quran are the sicknesses of the hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this clear, that the hearts become sick due to shubuhat, doubtful matters, as we have previously said. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 10th Ayat, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرْضٌ. In their hearts is a sickness, a disease. فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرْضًا. Yani, so Allah increased them in sickness. Yani, the sickness here of doubts and hypocrisy and kufr. And also as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 125th Ayat, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرْضٌ. And as far as those who have a sickness in their hearts, فَزَادَتْهُمْ رِجْسًا إِلَى رِجْسِهِمْ وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. So this caused them to have yani filth upon filth, yani sin upon sin, sickness upon sickness, وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. And they died as disbelievers. Yani here again, the scholars of tafsir say, the sickness here, the Shaykh is referring to this ayat as indicating the sickness of what? Doubt and disbelief and hypocrisy. Sickness of doubts. Then the Shaykh mentions another ayat which points to the sicknesses of shahawat, of desires. وَالْقُلُوبُ قَدْ تَمْرُدْ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. And the hearts may also become sick due to desires, as we have mentioned. And from that is the saying of our Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعُ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرُضٌ وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. So do not be soft in speech. Allah is saying to the women, do not speak softly, yani in a way that would lead a person's heart to be affected. Do not speak softly. فَيَطْمَعُ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرُضٌ. So that the one who has a sickness in his heart, meaning the sickness of yani shahawat, desires, who might yani desire that woman, so that person would be led to yani be desirous due to that speech, but rather speak a word that is honorable, qawlan ma'rufa. So here the Shaykh, he mentions ayats that indicate sickness of the heart that is from the shubuhat, doubtful matters, doubt and disbelief and hypocrisy. And he mentioned this ayah from Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, 32nd ayah, which alludes to the sickness of the heart of shahawat, any desires. So the Shaykh closes by saying, so the heart, it might become sick due to a shubha, a doubtful matters, and a doubtful matter, and it might become sick due to a shahwa, desires, that a person, yani for worldly pleasures, that a person doesn't have the willpower to resist, and therefore they fall into disobedience to Allah. And the cure for both of these type of deadly and lethal sicknesses, indeed it is the Quran, the speech of our Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaqulu Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, Ibn al-Qayyim says, Jima' al-amrad al-qulub, that which gathers together or brings together the sicknesses of the hearts, huwa amrad al-shubuhat wa-shahawat. It is these two categories of sickness, the sicknesses of doubts and the sicknesses of desires. وَالْقُرْآنِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّوْعَيْنِ. And the Qur'an is the healing, the cure for both of these two types of sicknesses of the heart. Because it contains al-bayyinat wal-barahin al-qata'iyyah, يعني يُبَيِّن الْحَقْ مِنَ الْبَاطِلِ. Because the Qur'an contains al-bayyinat, يعني clear evidences, والبراهين القطعية, and decisive, conclusive, يعني proofs, which makes clear, يعني which clarifies and distinguishes the truth from falsehood. And in this way, the sicknesses of doubtful matters are alleviated. Due to what? The clear evidences and decisive, conclusive proofs which distinguish truth from falsehood, and by means of which, yani, doubtful matters are removed, the sickness of doubts is removed from the heart. And the Quran, as far as its healing for the sicknesses of shahawat, of the desires, so it is due to that which it contains of al-hikmah, wisdom, al-mawa'idhat al-hasana, and beautiful teaching and exhortations, wa tazheed fi dunya, and causing a person to not be desirous of the dunya, wa targhib fil akhirah, and making a person to be desirous of the hereafter. Yani, this is the means through which the sickness of shahwat, of desires, is overcome. Yani, the wisdom and the beautiful preachings and teachings, and the encouragement in seeking the hereafter and discouragement from seeking the dunya. In this way, the Quran is a cure and a healing for the both types of sicknesses of the heart, that is, the sicknesses of shubuhat and the sicknesses of shahawat. And therefore, a person, yani, every one of us, when we read the Quran, we should be carefully looking and examining what we are reading, looking for the proofs and evidences that eliminate doubtful matters, and the proofs and evidences and the encouragements, yani, to seek the hereafter, which strengthen a person, strengthen their will to resist committing sins that will cause a person to be punished in the next life. Okay, after this, the Shaykh mentions another matter, which would be our seventh affair that the Shaykh mentions concerning the means or ways in which the Quran reforms and mends and rectifies the heart and enables a person, yani, to establish a tawheed in the heart and a tawheed in the society, to rectify and to reform the society as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended it to be. So the seventh matter of the Shaykh, he just mentions in brief, وَيَصْلُحُ الْقَلْبُ بِالْقُرْآنِ بِالْحَذَرِ مِنَ الْغَفْلَةِ وَأَهْلِهَا, that the Qur'an also rectifies and reforms and mends the heart by means of the Qur'an, due to the warnings in the Qur'an against al-ghafla, being unmindful and heedless, and the warnings in the Qur'an against the people of ghafla, the people of, yani, the people who are heedless, who are unmindful of that which Allah has revealed. So the Shaykh, he says that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his noble book, he has warned us against al-ghafla, heedlessness of the heart, and he has warned us against the ghafileen, the people who are heedless and unmindful. And he mentions here the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 92nd Ayat, وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا لَغَافِلُونَ. This is a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that many of the people, not a few, but many of the people are unmindful, are heedless of our signs. Yani, the signs in the Quran as well as the signs in the creation. Many of the people are unmindful of them. Therefore, this is a warning from being, yani, in ghafla, from being unmindful, from being heedless of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which He has revealed to us in the Quran and that which He has shown us in the creation. After this, he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah and 205th ayat, وَلَا تَكُنْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ, and do not be one of those who are, yani, ghafil, the unmindful, the heedless. Do not be from amongst. Allah prohibits that. Yani, la an-nahiya in this ayat. Yani, Allah is saying, this is a prohibition. Do not be from the unmindful ones. And finally, he mentions also in Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, 28th ayat, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هُوَاهُ وَكَانَ عَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And this is also la nahiya, prohibition. And do not obey those whose hearts we have made unmindful, whose hearts we have made to be heedless from our reminder, our dhikr. And do not follow, yani, his desires. Yani, do not be from those whom Allah has made his heart heedless of the reminder and who follows his desires. Do not be from these people who follow their desires because of their unmindfulness, the heedfulness of the reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore his affair, yani, his deeds were lost, wasted. So the Shaykh mentions these three ayahs to warn us against al-ghafla, being unmindful, heedless of the signs of Allah, and to warn us against yani the people of ghafla, from being from amongst those who are unmindful. And finally, we're going to mention one last point, yani which will be our eighth point of the affairs, that the Quran yani is a source of mending or healing or reconciliation of the hearts due to reading the Quran yani with reflection and contemplation. وَيَصْلُحُ الْقَلْبُ بِالْقُرْآنِ, and the heart is mended, the heart is yani reformed, it is repaired, it is rectified by the Quran. إِذَا عَلِمَ الْقَلْبُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ أَنَّ مَنْ تَرَكَ مَا يَنْفَعُهُ وَتَرَكَ الْخَيْرُ مَا الْإِمْكَانِ ابْتَلَاهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْإِشْتِغَالِ بِمَا يَدُرُّهُ وَحُرِمَ مَا يَنْفَعُهُ وأن من استعمل نعم الله عز وجل في معاصيه أشغله بها فانقلبت عليه نقما. And the Shaykh is saying here that the heart is mended, it is rectified, it is reformed by the Quran. When the heart comes to know from the reading of the Quran that whoever abandons what benefits him, and who leaves off the khair that yani we came to know of, while we have the ability to do it, then Allah would try that person, would test them yani with busying them instead with that which will harm them, and prohibiting them from that which will benefit them. The person who has the ability to do that which is of benefit and that which is khair, and yet they abandon it, they leave it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test them. He will try them by occupying them instead with that which will harm them, and prohibiting them from that which will benefit them. Because they have abandoned that which benefit them, and they had abandoned that which is khair after they knew it and had the ability to do it, so Allah occupies them with that which harms them, and prevents them from that which will benefit them. وَأَنَّ مَنْ إِسْتَعْمَلَ نِعْمَ اللَّهِ, and whoever uses the favors, the bounties, the blessings of Allah in disobedience to Him, yani uses the wealth that Allah has given them to commit sin, uses the knowledge or experience or talent or gift that Allah has given them to disobey Him, then Allah will occupy them with that disobedience. And therefore, the ni'mah of Allah, the bounty or blessing that Allah has given to them, instead becomes a curse upon them. Yani becomes that which is harmful to them instead of beneficial to them, because they have used the ni'mah, the favor of Allah, in disobedience to Him, so He occupied them with that disobedience, and then the ni'mah, the wealth that they had, or the talent that they had, or the knowledge that they had that could have been used to benefit them, now it becomes yani harmful to them. Allah Azza wa Jalla has made clear to us in the Quran yani examples of this. Allah has made clear to us in the Quran, and the mushrikeen, lamma zahidu fi ibadati ar-Rahman ibtalu bi ibadati al-awthan. That when the mushrikeen resisted, yani zahidu meaning they yani distanced themselves, or they yani didn't occupy themselves with the worship of ar-Rahman, then Allah brought a trial upon them and caused them to worship the awthan, yani the idols other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they didn't worship Allah, so Allah caused them to worship other than Him. وَأَنَّ الْمُشْرِكِينَ لَمَّا عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِمْ الْإِيمَانَ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ فَأَرَفُوهُ ثُمَّ تَرَكُوهُ قَلَّبَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَطَبَعَ عَلَيْهَا وَخَتَمَ عَنْهَا أَقَتَمَ عَلَيْهَا فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يَرَوْا الْعَذَابَ الْعَلِيمَ. So when the mushrikeen, when they were given the opportunity to have iman, when they were called to iman the first time, and they knew it, and they recognized it, and then they abandoned it, in spite of the fact that they knew that it was of benefit, then Allah قَلَّبَ قُلُوبَهُمْ, He turned their hearts over and put a seal on their heart, and so that they wouldn't believe until they saw the terrible punishment. Yani when they were offered iman the first time, and they knew that it was right and that it was good, and they rejected it, then Allah turned their hearts around. And ayats like this are mentioned in the Quran in many places. One of them is yani the sixth surah of the Quran, 109th and 110th ayah. After this, the Shaykh says another example. لَمَّا بَيْنَ لَهُمْ صِرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ وَزَاغُوا عَنْهُ بِاخْتِيَارِهِمْ وَرِضًا بِطَرِيقِ الْغَيِّ وَالضَّلَالَةِ عُوقِبُوا بِأَنْ أَزَاغُوا اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَجَعَلَهُمْ حَائِرِينَ فِي طَرِيقِهِمْ. So when the Sirat al-Mustaqim had been made clear to them and they deviated from it by choice and being pleased with the way of sin and transgression and misguidance, then Allah punished them by turning their hearts away, by causing their hearts to deviate and causing them to be astray and misguided in their path. Yani when they turned away from the truth, after it had been presented to them, deviated from it by choice, being pleased with other than that, then Allah caused their hearts to deviate. And this is also mentioned in different places in the Quran. From amongst them is in the 61st surah and the 5th ayat, and in the 9th surah, 127th ayat. And we're going to close with these last couple of points that the Shaykh mentions here, under this principle or rule, that whoever, yani, abandons that which benefits them and abandons the khair while they have the ability to do it, then Allah will test them by occupying them with that which harms them and prohibiting them from that which benefits them. And so the Shaykh mentions also an example of this. When the disbelievers ahanu bi ayatillah wa rusulahu, when they disrespected the signs of Allah and the messengers of Allah, ahanuhumullah bil adhab al muheen, then Allah disgraced them by a terrible, humiliating punishment. وَلَمَّا اسْتَقْبَرُوا عَنْ الْإِنْقِيَادِ لِلْحَقِّ أَذَلَّهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And when they proudly, arrogantly rejected submitting to the truth after it had been presented to them, then Allah humiliated them, degraded them because of their pride and arrogance from accepting the truth. He degraded them in this world and in the hereafter. And the last example he gave, وَلَمَّا مَنَعُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ وَخَرَّبُوهَا مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. So when they مَنَعُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ, yani when they prohibited yani the entry of the masjids of Allah and destroyed the masjids of Allah, then it wasn't for them. They didn't have any right to enter them except in fear, as Allah mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 114th ayah. So the Shaykh, we close with his summary of this principle. So the qa'ida al-shara'iyya allati yadullu alayha al-Qur'an, which the Qur'an points to, yani the sharia principle that the Qur'an points to is, anna man tayassara lahu al-khayr fatarakahu wa ishtagala anhu bididdihi anna Allah azza wa jalla yabtalihi bishurur wa yahrimuhu dhalika al-khayr. Yani that when the doing of good has been made easy for a person, when Allah made them able to do it, and yet they abandoned it, they failed to do it, and they occupied themselves with the opposite of it, yani with evil, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them with evil, and He prohibits them from that khayr. So this, in closing here, and this is the end of our time, I want to remind us, yani, of this principle, very, very important principle, whenever the opportunity to do good, or that which is a benefit to oneself, yani benefit in light of the Quran and the Sunnah, in light of the Sharia, in light of Islam. A person has an opportunity to do good and they have the ability to do it and they reject it, they abandon it, they turn away from it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prohibit them from good and Allah will turn their hearts to evil and to corruption and that which is of no benefit, rather that which will harm them. Let us be careful when the opportunity for khair comes and the opportunity for that, doing that which will benefit us, whether it is doing good that directly benefits ourselves or doing good that indirectly benefits ourselves by helping others, when the opportunity presents itself and we have the ability to do it, let us not hesitate even for a moment from doing that which yani clearly will be in our interest in this world and in the next life. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Perhaps inshallah next week we'll probably conclude with this topic bi idhnillahi ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam.